I realized that I wasn't the best anymore. I was far from the best. I was slightly better than mediocre when it came time to running in my, when I was 18 and 19 and 20. And after my junior year of college, I quit competitive running for good. And now I'm one of those people who every now and again runs up and down the West Side Highway. And I run about 3 miles, and I run faster than some people, but not as fast as others. I am slightly above average as a runner. And the truth is, it's not just me who had this happen to. When I was preparing for this talk, I went back and I looked online. They have all the statistics for Canadian running. And I looked at the top 1,500 meter runners when I was 14, right? And, you know, I was number one, and a guy named Dave Reed was number two, and a guy named Steve Wellum was number three. And I looked at all 15 names. And then I fast-forwarded 10 years to see who the top 1,500 meter runners in Canada were 10 years later. And only one name appeared on both lists, and that was this guy named Dave Reed. So I wasn't the only one who dropped away. In other words, 14 out of the top 15 runners in the country when we were 14 were no longer runners of any significance 10 years later. And who was the best miler of my generation? A guy named Doug Consiglio. Now, as it turns out, I know Doug Consiglio. Doug Consiglio went to a school not far from my own. And when I was a young runner at 13 and 14, Doug Consiglio was a joke. He was this kind of scrawny kid who we all made fun of and who always came in last. Well, by the time Doug Consiglio was 24, he ran the second fastest 1,500 meters in the history of Canada. He was on the Canadian Olympic team. He made the Olympic 1,500 meter final, and he is one of the legends of Canadian track and field. The idea then that you can build a great Olympic program just by identifying and nurturing and encouraging people who show great promise at a very early age isn't true, because the people who are really good at 13 and 14 don't always end up, in fact, in most cases, don't end up being the most talented at the age of 23 and 24. That's what I want to talk about today. We take it as a kind of article of faith in our society that great ability in any field is always or invariably manifested early on. That to be precocious at something is important and valuable because it is a prediction, an indicator that you are likely to be good at that same skill as an adult. But what I want to talk about is whether that's true. What evidence is there for it? What exactly is the value of mastering a skill quickly? What are the characteristics of childhood success that actually do predict success as an adult? And do those characteristics match our definition, precociousness? Let's start with a very simple question, and that is, to what extent does early intellectual success predict adult accomplishment, right? A question that has a huge number of people have tried to answer it. And it's an obvious and very basic one. Intuitively, I think we all believe that there is some powerful connection between that, right? We all know brilliant children who grow up to be brilliant adults. We're full of stories like the young Mozart composing music at the age of four. And then there's the example of this guy, Dave Reed, who I ran against, who was one of the great runners of his generation when he was 12 and 13, and he was also one of the great runners of his generation when he was 25 and 26, right? So the question is, how many people are like Dave Reed and are good early and good late? And how many are like me, or how many are like me who are good early and not so good late? And how many are like Doug Consiglio, who are not very good early and very good late? And the answer is there are far more Malcolm Gladwells and Doug Consiglios than there are Dave Reeds. Let me give you an example from New York. Hunter College Elementary School in New York is one of the most prestigious elementary schools in the city. It's been around for many, many years. And for many, many years, admission into Hunter College was based on a very simple achievement test, essentially an IQ test, right? Hunter College was founded at the time in our history when we were most obsessed with IQ. In the mid-1980s, a group of researchers go back and they track down all the people who graduated from Hunter College and Elementary School between 1948 and 1960, right? There's hundreds of them. And they write this book called Genius Revisited, which is, what are these people doing now that they're all grown up? And I would point out that this group, their average IQ was 157. So they're 3.5 standard deviations above the mean. This is a really, really smart group of kids, right? So 30 and